person. Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 89. Announcements. I have shows this Friday, May 20th at the Little Field in Brooklyn. The 7:30 show is sold out, so thank you if you made that happen. Still a couple of tickets left for the 10 p.m. show, so if you still want to go and you can make 10 p.m., fantastic. That's May 20th in Brooklyn. May 26th, Nerdist Podcast Live with Robert Kirkman at Meltdown. That's an 8 p.m. show. Robert Kirkman, Invincible, Walking Dead, he will be there to take your questions and then make wiener jokes with us. I'm very excited about that. June 4th, I'll be doing stand-up at the Showbox in Seattle, Showbox at the Market. June 10th, the Magic Bag in Ferndale, Michigan. June 11th, the Granada Theater in Dallas, Texas. Tickets for all of that stuff are available. The link's at Nerdist.com. There's a little sidebar that says, look at me. Click there. It'll take you to the tickets. Also, Nerdist t-shirts for 2011 are available for pre-order until May 23rd. That is on the website as well. And you can pre-order my book, The Nerdist Way. All that information is at Nerdist.com. All right. I would like to welcome back our sponsor yet again. I must be doing something right. Carbonite. Online backup. Unfortunately, our computers will take a shit on our desks at some point, and you might lose all of your stuff. This has happened to me a couple of times before. No matter how feverishly I tend to back up on hard drives, I've lost those as well. Disaster is unfortunately inevitable. So before that happens, get Carbonite. Your files are automatically backed up. Whenever you're connected to the internet, you will have access to them. And when disaster strikes, you get them right back. You get anytime, anywhere access to your backed up files from any computer. You get them on your smartphone or iPad with the free app. Unlimited backup is just $59 a year. That is the best insurance you will ever buy in your life. That is less than $5 a month. So start your 15-day trial today at Carbonite.com with the offer code Nerdist. And if you decide to buy it, you will get 2 free months. So it actually works out to being less than $5 a year the first year. That's Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Nerdist to get 2 free months. Thank you so much to Carbonite for sponsoring the podcast, which, by the way, this is the live podcast of Mr. Kevin Pereira from Attack of the Show. We did this at Nerdmelt. The place was packed. Kevin was awesome and hilarious, and everyone had a great time. So I hope you enjoy it. It was a delight to be involved. And now I present to you the Nerdist Podcast number 89 with Mr. Kevin Pereira.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Welcome. Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast Live. Get in there, Matthew.
Going.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for coming out. So due to recent events, Kevin Pereira will not be here tonight. Instead, we're going to talk 3 hours about the evolution of the war. Beginning with 9/11 through Bush's presidency.
That's the thing, man. It didn't start with 9/11, man. It started 30 years before that, brother. Now check it out.
You see, back at the end of the Cold War. Come on.
Can we bring down the screen, please?
So you can see these military installations right here.
Yeah, exactly.
This is going to be really fun. I'm kind of a cock because it took me so long. All right. And you're fired.
Yes! Sweet release!
Hooray! Boom! Thank you! I feel like I really should have had Kevin Pereira on sooner.
Your friend, Kevin Pereira, that you work with?
My friend Kevin that I've been working with the last 3.5 years. So I'm excited that he is actually here tonight. I'm excited you guys came out. G4 is here. It's going to be awesome-tastic. Just sort of sifting through the tweet. You know, here's what happens. Osama bin Laden.
Who?
Is this guy. Is this guy.
The president?
No. Osama with an S. You're thinking Obama. Thinking Obama.
The Muslim?
Well, no. He's not. I mean, it's not. Yeah.
He lies. Yes.
Yeah, he does. That's one of my bits. Yeah.
Hey.
Thank you.
Now the interaction starts.
Where else was he awesome?
We're going to open the floor to Clements. Not yet.
Not yet.
So, you know, like, it is a tremendous responsibility as a comedian.
Being the Al-Qaeda leader?
Yes. It is so hard to get stage time. You're playing shitty caves in Pakistan.
The walls are like 18 feet tall.
Yeah. It's just
not good sound. The laughter goes straight up. Can't hear shit.
Can't hear shit.
Just try landing a helicopter there.
Yeah, if there's too much laughter, smart bomb. So you really have
to.
It's not how you want to bomb. But it is very. There's a lot of pressure when that happens, and you're a comic, and it's just like, what's your joke going to be on Twitter?
I had a lot.
I had nothing. I was very impressed to see there were several iterations of the. Hey, they found Bin Laden. I guess he shouldn't have put his information in the PlayStation Network. Like there was a lot of those.
There was that one. There's
those.
Foursquare references.
Foursquares, yeah.
Yeah, I shouldn't have enabled location data on my Twitter account.
Oh, yeah. But that guy who shot him gets to be the mayor of Osama.
Mayor of Osama?
He'll never be used to, like, he'll never lose that title.
Yeah,
he'll always be the mayor of Osama.
No one will ever be able to do it. There was a lot of good. I found out about Osama being dead from, like, I pulled open Twitter. And I just started reading like a Kyle Kinane had a tweet saying, I guess these two large pizzas are going to be more historic than I thought. And then I was like,
an excellent Kyle Kinane.
Thanks. And then I was like, oh, that's funny. And then I scrolled and there was an Osama joke. I was like, well, I guess the 10-year anniversary is coming up pretty soon. Still blind to the fact that then someone just blatantly, Osama's dead. What the fuck? And then I opened up HuffPost. It's just dead. Just fucking huge red letters. Yeah. And I was like, why the shit?
I mean, it's unfortunate. It really obscured what the real important story was, which was the DUI arrest of Rick Springfield.
Oh, I know, right?
Really overshadowed.
How do you know he wasn't behind that, his people? We need to bury this. Kill Osama.
Rick Springfield has insane amounts of power.
He really does.
Yeah, yeah.
Number two guy at the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
Take out Jesse's girl. Take out Jesse's girl.
Yeah.
That was his code name.
You know, yeah, exactly. Because, you know, what they never tell you is that Bin Laden was actually a huge 80s music enthusiast.
Yes.
And so.
And General Hospital.
Loved General Hospital.
Big fan.
Loved it. And so, loved Jack Wagner.
He also liked Port Charles, the spinoff.
Yep.
No?
Was that
and
the
other
one?
Soap operas.
So then they send Rick Springfield over and then to do a concert, and then he does Bin Laden. What did you just do?
That was the beginning.
Oh, that was the guitar
riff?
Much
deeper. That's what Osama heard.
Oh.
he lulled him outside.
I won't. Jesse's girl. And then Rick Springfield flying V had a gun in the neck.
Yeah.
And he just fucking.
Bullet right in the left eye.
Cut him in half. Just cut him in half.
So he's dead.
He is no longer alive. That's very true.
Yeah. Ceased to exist.
Yep. He's joined the choir invisible.
And did any of you know about his DUI arrest? I didn't think so.
Bin Laden had one, too.
No!
So what are you guys up to this week? Matthew, you seem... I was back. How you feeling this week? And you're like, yeah, you know.
That's been his response for the past year.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
How you doing tonight, man?
Well, you know what happens? You know what happens? This actually won't go up before your show starts, but...
Yeah.
Matt Myra's stand-up open mic show starts next Sunday here at Meltdown.
Come on, people.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sign-ups at 7:30.
Sign-ups.
Names get drawn out of the hat. 8 o'clock show.
Boom.
It's going to be awesome.
Are you going to go, Chris?
I'm going to be in New York. Otherwise, I would.
Me too.
Interesting.
Nope.
Oh, wait a second.
No, no. You told me very clearly you were here. You have a luncheon on that Sunday. You said...
No.
Last week we talked and you were like, I am definitely going to be here.
I overheard you saying Sunday night, I got nothing to do.
That's impossible because I have so much to do. Like all the paperwork.
All the web soup.
All the web soup paperwork that I have to do.
All the releases from the guys who get hit in the balls have to sign.
You
to
have
give
to
us
hold their
to...
hand with it.
That's very exciting. Are you excited? Have you written some jokes, Matthew?
I have jokes ready.
Would you like to give us a sampling of your jokes? Oh, this
is
we
always like to hear it.
This is what your parents do to you, and you fucking hate it when your parents Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Tell the one, you know the one.
Remember how you took a shit in the shape of James Gandolfini?
Yeah. This is Matt's two dads.
Ready? Here's one. Actually, here's one that I don't know if it's somebody. I feel like this is a joke that I don't know. I feel like someone did it, but hang on. Tell me if someone did it. So my girlfriend, Greta, she told me without any provocation whatsoever that she had taken a pregnancy test.
Too soon.
Bro, I'm trying to be supportive.
Luckily, guys, it was negative. Because, good Lord, I can barely afford my rent, let alone the abortion.
Hey! Hot button topic, Myra! What's he going to tear into this week?
Aborted fetuses jokes. Just a little sampling of what you might get at Matt Myra's Day Off. Sunday, May 8th.
And every week, someone wins a fleshlight.
You know what? I got really upset this week's last week's 30 Rock because they
spoiler.
There was a joke in there that I do not in my act, but in life. It's a life joke, just one of those jokes you do with your friends all the time. And it was when Tracy comes back and then Kenneth says it's like the Three Musketeers and Grizz.
Yeah.
I do that constantly to make my friends feel excluded.
Well, now you
and
can.
It's an awesome trick you got to do, especially if there's just three of you and you go, oh, it's like the Three Musketeers and Matt. Here we are. No, here's the thing, Matt. Me and Chris have a bond much like the Three Musketeers had, but you're here too, and that's fine. But like, it's like me and Chris have that bond that they would have. But it's cool that you're here. It's
no,
really
I,
cool.
I get it.
See what it does to your friends? Your friends?
So how long have you felt that 30 Rock was ripping off your life? You know that sounds like crazy person talk, right?
No, I didn't say they ripped. I just like it's they did the similar joke, and now I can't do it because now I'll be just accused of doing a 30 Rock joke in my life.
All That's right. true. Well, yeah. Except that now that you've...
But you constantly quote funny things from movies, and you're worried about that.
Yeah, but those are obvious.
Okay. Never mind.
You guys are so cute together. Are you going to write about your relationship with Jonah? My wife, Jonah.
Matt, tell him.
I didn't want to have to pay for Jonah's abortion.
Yeah. Matt, tell everyone what you were doing when you found out about Osama.
Really?
Uh-oh.
This is a text message to a friend privately that I sent to you?
Yes.
Well, I found out Osama bin Laden. Now, some of you will go gross, but I will go, that wasn't a good time. I was getting a blowjob when I found out Osama bin Laden was being gone.
Now, I want you to realize go. This. He found out from a text message while he was getting a blowjob. So that means he's getting a blowjob. And then he hears his phone go off. Then he's like, keep going. Hold on.
I'm going to grab the phone.
Guys, I have the full preview come up, like three lines on the iPhone.
My question is, says, when you saw the news, did it help you finish like right away? Oh, my God.
That was a freedom load
in your mouth.
No, but I got a text.
America tastes salty and like bleach.
I got a text from John McDonough, one of my best friends who works at the funeral home. We have this thing where we try to beat each other to celebrity death announcements.
While each other are getting blowjobs, right?
Yeah. It's
tricky. You gotta wet your finger, put it into the sky, and I think my friend's getting blown right now.
This week on G4, blowjob race. So
thanks for telling everyone that, though. I wasn't sure if you would actually do it.
Your girlfriend does not listen to this podcast, right?
She does.
Does she know you were getting a blowjob? Thank you. No, please. You're too kind. Far too kind.
That's why it says Chris Hardwick in iTunes.
Oh, this was fun.
Well, good night, everybody. We ran out of time.
I think it is high time we should bring our guest out right here. He's been waiting backstage. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my friend and coworker, Mr. Kevin Pereira. Kevin Pereira picks up the rice in the church where his wedding. Welcome.
Hello.
Kevin Pereira.
You all wasted your money.
No.
Way to outdress us.
He's still wearing. He's still in show wardrobe.
This is what wardrobe. I was wearing when I found out that Osama died.
Yep.
I was just giving a blowjob, and some dude was looking at his cell phone, and I was like, whoa, this is going to mean something. I'm going to keep this. Yeah.
I was given a blowjob because I forgot to buy AppleCare, yeah. And that is some serious AppleCare.
That is
those
inside.
Are expensive screens, let me tell you. Yeah.
Very pricey.
Water damage. Blah. How's it going, Kevin?
It's going well, thank you. That green room is phenomenal back there.
Isn't
there's a vacuum from the 1960s.
Yes.
A whole bunch of strangers' cum stains on the couch.
Do you ever still drive by vacuum repair shops and go, what the fuck?
Yeah. Why is it got to be a fraud?
Wait. What technology has replaced the vacuum?
But don't you just go buy a new Dirt Devil for $30?
See, that's just what's wrong with America.
First world
right now.
Problems.
First world
just
problems.
Just buy a new one. Just buy a new one.
Disposable. Everything's disposable. You've been working for the fruit-themed computer company too long. I'll just fucking buy a new one. Let's buy a new one.
Dell isn't fruit-themed. I'm covering.
Yeah. Oh, nice. That's good. They'll never know now.
Hey, the new Oryx got them touchscreens on them. No, that's not true. Kev, I'm excited that you're finally on the podcast. I'm sorry it took so long for me to get you on the podcast.
We have feigned friendship for a while, but it's about time to make it official.
I know. We should hang out more.
Yeah, no, really. I'll call you. We'll make it happen.
Yeah.
We'll get it done.
Now, I first met you on Screensavers, correct?
Was it Screensavers?
All right.
Fucking... Someone's jeans just got sticky. Yeah.
I think
that's the same guy that goes on the G4 forums going, bring back Tech TV! Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry I single-handedly murdered Tech TV. I didn't want to do it, but I had the chance. The throat was exposed. I went with the knife.
Yeah, what the fuck is your problem? Yeah. How dare you create a channel that more people want to watch?
Exactly. Yeah.
I know there was a lot of
at least Tech TV was on DirecTV. Come on, guys.
Hey, no comments.
Cameras here.
I am.
There are cameras here.
Hey,
they can cut around it.
I don't even know to what you're referring, sir. Every day is.
How about those fleshlights?
How about those fleshlights?
Wait, was the fleshlight the blowjob? That doesn't really count.
It doesn't count. That is totally, it's totally okay that you looked at your text.
Have you ever experienced the fleshlight? Have you guys,
no,
has
I've
anybody
not.
Here ever?
I haven't.
Show of disgusting hands if you've ever gripped a fleshlight.
Just cough quietly.
Now, is one...
It is more work to fuck a fleshlight than it is to fuck an actual human being.
Is
like,
it?
The preparation to have sex with a fleshlight involves warm tap water.
Yeah.
And, like, slow jazz.
I imagine.
Like, you have to... It is... I was going to experience... I got one. Joe Rogan gave me one. Not gay at all. And... And I'm like, I'm going to give this thing a go. Like, let's give it a whirl. And the preparation time, like, at this point, it's cheaper for me to go out and have actual sex.
What about the cleaning time?
That's the wave of
guilt. No, you just put it in
filth.
The dishwasher.
Yeah, it's dishwasher safe.
You just bring it to the vacuum repair man.
But
that'll be an interesting side business. Blade Runner style alleys that are there to clean and renew your fleshlights.
But he
just stab him with blue light wands and disinfect him.
Yeah,
is this mine? I don't know. Whatever.
But the vacuum cleaner guy sets the motor too high and it just sucks your cock right off. And
it happens.
I've not tried the fleshlight yet.
You're not missing out on anything. That's not like don't put it on your bucket list.
No,
like, you'll die a prouder man had you not stuck your penis
fuck the
in
bucket
those.
Before you.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Definitely finish into the bucket.
A little bit of Homer's all purpose for you.
Well,
we met ages ago. Gadget Prawn, I think it was Attack of the Show. Unless you came on Screensavers, did you perform a song on Screensavers?
Mike Furman and I did American Dinosaurs on Screensavers.
God, you killed the Screensavers.
I killed it. I'll tell you, I know we killed it because as soon as we got done with the show, one of the producers came out. Maybe it was Gavin or no, maybe it wasn't Gavin.
Probably Jim Downs back in the day.
And so someone came out and the guy was like, "That is great. We would love to have you back on Screensavers. Unfortunately, Screensavers is being retooled." They were like, "Wow, we literally killed it." But we used to shoot Screensavers over in West LA where Chelsea shoots now.
Oh, she took our studio. She stole my baby.
What's funny about that is that they've not replaced the video game 8-bit carpet for Chelsea. So, you know, you have all these people that are more Chelsea's demographic, right. And then...
like, it's like, oh, excuse me, Mario Cantone, there's an 8-bit Space Invader on the carpet.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. They don't know what that is, so it's weird. But Screensavers was fun. So when were you involved? Because you were around since Tech TV.
Yeah. Oh, I've been around for far too long.
Kevin Pereira, what's a little? Were you like interning at Tech TV?
I was a PA at G4, and then I was going to quit G4. I called my folks and was like, "I'm moving back home from the Bay Area to go work at Tech TV." Boy, I'm glad I didn't make that call. Yeah. So I was at G4, and then I found out they were buying Tech TV, and it was all for channel numbers and all sorts of really, really, really entertaining shit. And I was a PA slash host because I was free.
Right.
So for about 6 months, I would go do 3 episodes of a show called Arena, where I had a, don't admit that shit. That is, you get the fleshlight tonight. I had the Amber Alert, the white trash mustache, and then their idea of wardrobe was just head to toe jean. It was all acid wash jean.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and frosted tips. Because it was the cool thing back then. Yeah.
Oh, like a full jean jacket.
Jean jacket, big like brown work boots.
Oh yeah, Sicilian tuxedo.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Yeah, nice.
And I would go do this terrible show called Arena, and I would shoot 3 episodes a day, not get paid, and then run to grab balance bars and coffee for the other show across the way.
That's incredible.
Yeah, but it worked out. Powerful lips.
But didn't you? You were a programmer though. You were a young computer whiz.
I started an internet provider up in NorCal back when AOL had all their busy signals. So we started a little dial-up service, and I had gobs of bandwidth. So I was doing podcasting back when I didn't think there was a pod yet. It was Real Player G2. It would just you'd click play, and then a week later, after it buffered, it would sound like. It would sound like a microphone in a garbage disposal.
Like the first years of cell phones where it was just 8 dudes were all on the same frequency.
Yeah,
they were just calling each other and be like, "I'm rich, me too."
Yeah.
What did you start?
It was called Pointless Audio. It was a little web series about hacking and how to crash people's ICQ's accounts. And just stupid shit like that. Yeah, exactly. And that's all it was, but it just snowballed into something, and then a guy that was a fan of it helped start G4 and called me up. So out I came.
That's fantastic. So you've been at G4 for, what, 6 years now?
Like 9 or 10.
9 years? Really?
Yeah, there's no tread on my tires. I'm done.
Oh, my God.
I'm done.
No, you'll work forever.
Yeah. Oh, so that's inspiring.
No, you know. You'll work forever. I think so. Because what I noticed when I first started working for G4, I came over from Wired Science on PBS. And, no, please. And, you're too kind.
Wait, put your tops back on.
Girls, you don't need to go wild here over PBS. The girls will go wild over PBS, like their tits are at their ankles. Like, you want to see more trellises? Decoupage, bruh.
I donate whenever Lawrence Welk is on.
So, and when I came around, what I noticed is that, there were a lot of people that were doing tech stuff, and there are obviously people that were doing comedy stuff, but very few people really combine the two well. But I always found you to be very funny and, that's how it should be.
I love it when you lie to me.
That's how it should be.
Look right in my eyes and keep lying to me.
I'm dead serious.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm dead serious. Dead serious. And so I feel like every year... Attack just gets huger and bigger and huger, and now actually people know what it is.
Despite my every effort to torpedo that show and run it into the fucking ground, it has somehow survived, and we still make an hour of disposable television every day. And for those who don't have DirecTV but are too ignorant to torrent, we will hopefully be back on soon.
No. Matt torrents. He just torrents like weird British antiquing shows.
Bargain hunt, motherfuckers. Bargain hunt.
You bit-torrent bargain hunt?
I do. Every goddamn day.
You're the one seater. You're the one guy seating that.
Oh, are you
still
shitting me?
I'm going to keep it alive.
That forever. Like, my ratio is like 4. Just
do
on
you carry a
hunt.
Stick to beat the pussy away when you tell women that?
I am a power user solely because of bargain
My
hunt.
Ratio is 4.0 on Demonoid because of bargain hunt.
Someone asked me to like, could you reseed Antiques Road Trip? I was like, no problem, buddy.
Wow.
We got a request
the one
out
time
here.
That seemed cool?
No.
Matt does beat a lot of pussy away, as we found out tonight. He's a BJ aficionado.
Oh.
You're going to be on the cover of Blowjob Aficionado magazine. It looks like
giver or taker, which...
whatever. Just whatever. Okay. Just whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Aficionado
should
means
be well
everything.
Rounded, I mean. Yeah, I mean, like, you
really
should know.
You're very well balanced. but I came on Attack in 2007. And the thing that I love about working at G4 is that it reminds me of I'm sorry to date myself. It reminds me of earlier days of MTV, mm-hmm. where everyone's like super
on cocaine. Everybody's just wired, blasting.
Hey, what if we have a dating show but we put it on a ship? Huh? Can you host that?
That's wrong. Wrong okay. Station.
Man, Shipmates was syndicated. Please.
By the way, my dad, and this is telling for my father, but his DVR was Attack of the Show. Springer, Cheaters, Shipmates.
Wow.
That's his DVR and the extent of his pop culture knowledge. So thank you for that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I love Cheaters, that G4 still airs Cheaters.
That's what brings in the big bucks.
I mean, you know, people make fun of Cops and Cheaters. I'm like, no, Cops and Cheaters exist so that Web Soup can have a set.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what keeps the light on. And the great thing is, such a crossover audience. Those that love tuning in for Cheaters and Cops, of course they're going to stick around for Web Soup.
Yes. Yeah. Because they love
more people inflicting pain on themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, those people might be on meth too. All right.
Sure. Cheaters is so fun because, you know, you're talking about these people that are at a terrible moment in their lives, like a really awful moment of being humiliated and exposed. And then at a certain point, the producer has to go afterwards, will you sign this release? Oh, yeah, sure. Right here. I'll just sign my name.
This gets me on TV, right? Yeah. It makes it all better. You'll see. Yeah. You'll see when I'm famous
TV
for being an asshole.
Everything.
That's how I felt about Repo Wars. I only caught a promo for that, and I felt dirty. Did anybody watch that? It's like they basically this is the weakest point of your life. This is a terrible moment in your life. Up come the cameras. You now get to play a quiz show to keep your shit or lose it,
What?
That's how Repo Wars works. They come to repossess your vehicle.
Oh, Matt just found his new favorite show.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, do they have to answer? Is that a real thing?
They have to answer correctly or they lose their automobile.
That's like the future.
Right.
That's
really,
like the
yeah.
future.
That's yeah. like that fucking cash cab, but good.
Except it's in your car and they drive away without you.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't have
if you lose.
They should just do it with foreclosures. Just show up to people's houses.
That's how we should have done. Yeah. You know, the very first show I ever hosted was a show called Trashed, and the whole idea behind Trashed was don't pretend
trashed?
Like you remember it. Trashed. The whole idea behind Trashed was that people would bring. It was a game show, and people would bring out their personal possessions, and if they didn't answer enough questions, this guy would come out with these machines and destroy their shit. But that is a much better version of
better
that show.
Better is one adjective you could use to describe it.
Never mind. Forget it. I'm just confused as to how, like, if they say they don't take the vehicle, do they then do the payments to make them current? Like,
No. I mean, their vehicle is getting repossessed. They just have a chance to answer questions to win it back. And then you, as an audience, get to revel in that pathetic moment of their life.
Yeah, all right. I'm listening.
Yeah.
I like this.
Yeah, go on.
I'm going to seed this.
It's no antiquing. There's probably no hummingbird clocks on it.
And the bonus question to keep your daughter out of Child Protective Services.
But I love trash TV. I love that shit. I love Teen Mom. I love 16 and Pregnant. Pretty much anything with knocked up underage women I will watch.
16 and Pregnant.
I absolutely will. It's so aspirational. I look at that and I'm like, one day I'm going to be on 16 and Pregnant. One day.
I love that guy. I saw one clip of the show and I think there was something about like the guy didn't want to wear a condom because it just...
That sounds like every episode of 16 and Pregnant.
You know, because you can't
wait
really...
Wait a second. What's his reasoning? I need this.
Because you can't really feel it. You know, you can't really feel the 18 years of misery and child support.
I already used that one.
If you're not wearing a condom. Are we shooting for Attack of the Show? We are.
Oh, shit. Hey.
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 What's up? Oh, this is a much better...
That's a great angle. Yeah.
Angle there. Right there. Fantastic. Yeah, I mean, those people paid money, but fuck them in the face, right? I mean, like, get in front of the poor guy in the wheelchair.
Get a shot at the guy you're fucking over.
Clearly, that guy's a terrorist. Come on, you know, like, come on, I mean, get these guys, what are you doing? Yeah, get behind the pinball machine over here. Get the backs of our heads.
Oh, Chris, I don't like this angle. I don't like this angle for me.
Oh, my better neck side's over here. My neck side
you guys watch Attack of the Show here? Does people actually watch
Attack of the
show?
Yeah?
Wow.
Attack That's of cool. the show, oh, attack. We can do it all at the same time. 1, 2, 3. Attack of the show, attack.
Wow.
Two, three chords.
Yeah.
Na, 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 na. It's like G-G-G-G-G-A-E-E, or yeah. something like
it
that.
It got exponentially more expensive for other notes and octaves, so we just kept it to three. Something you could play on an iPhone without having to scroll.
The new set is so...
I've got to have testicular cancer from that set. It looks like... I always describe it as, it looks like Tokyo took ecstasy and vomited. And
you might have testicular cancer, but if you can answer these questions, you won't.
I will suck it out of you. Who am I kidding? Fuck these questions. Come here.
Tonight on Blowjob Remission.
It's like cancer's like snake venom. I'll get it.
Doesn't work that way.
Are you sure to remember? Let me get it out of you. Hold on. It's back there somewhere.
Cancer goes in through your penis, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's where it goes.
All the time.
I love today you guys did the the
Japan
benefit for Japan.
Yeah. Which got a lot of people. Yeah, Japan benefits.
Benefits.
To which I was shocked that like 12 people tweeted me in all caps, which is a lot for me. tweeted me in all caps like, way to fuck Alabama, asshole.
What?
I'm like, what? It's not like we woke up today and decided to do a benefit for Japan. It's been in the works. We will hopefully get to other benefits in the future, but they were very upset. Like,
how'd you fuck the whole state? That was cool.
Very carefully. Very slowly and without a rubber.
Yeah. Yeah.
First, they had to answer these quiz questions. but we had we did really well. I think so far, and the auctions. If you get a chance, g4tv.com/Japan. Hey, I plugged it.
perfect for the package.
We're doing a bunch of auctions on eBay and whatnot, and so far, I think we're up over like $20,000.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, on selling off old props and.
I still am shocked. I think the funniest one is that.
Is it Sarah Underwood?
Sarah Underwood's is her auction is that she'll do the feed from your living room.
Yeah.
And
someone's going to wear her skin as a coat.
Yeah.
Like she.
Well, what I forgot to mention is that my living room is on my cock. Right. So.
Exactly.
You know. $20,000.
My balls are going to toss to you. Just receive it and read the feed.
It's literally the feed.
So,
I'll say you've just been fed.
Starring Matt Myra. So, she had literally raised like $8,000, you said, even before the West Coast airing.
So, she is screwed, but God bless her for helping out.
She did a really great job on the feed.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's fun. The show to me is so much fun, and it really, what I love is that. It wasn't until, you know, within the last 5 or 6 years that you could even do nerd-themed programming. I mean, like, obviously my whole life was surrounded by nerd stuff in my personal life, mm-hmm. but it never occurred to me, like, oh, you can pursue this in television because nerd culture was always too niche before, and so no network would ever touch it. They'd be like, nah, fuck
nerds.
I
think networks were just afraid to touch it. It was sort of like discussing atheism or being agnostic. It was like, look, there are others out there, but no one wants to talk about it. It's cool. No, it's fine.
They're just like in between reruns of like Home Improvement, you'd see the signal break in and just this nerdy face like,
we know you're out there.
Yeah. Plus... It didn't help that like the nerd break-in was like the Johnny Mnemonic. Did you guys ever see Johnny Mnemonic, by the way?
Yeah.
Like, I went back on Netflix and watched that again. I was like, wow, at one point this was like the epitome of like nerd culture. This movie was badass. He was running RAM doubler on his brain.
Yeah.
And there was a fucking dolphin that would hack into your mainframe.
Yeah.
And that's not a joke. There is a dolphin in that movie that hacks into the mainframe.
That was
it
during
like Darwin on Sequest?
A little bit.
Kind of, yeah. Kind of.
Darwin.
But with more iced tea.
Don't kill yourself, Jonathan Landis.
If only they had written that in a script.
Yeah.
Good.
Or if only the dolphin had said that off screen. But it didn't happen.
But yeah, no, it was, Attack of the Show's been on for years, and we tried doing the hardcore nerd thing for a long while, and I don't think the audience was there or ready or aware of it, and it's over the past few years, it's really kind of snowballed into something that everybody's watching.
And finally...
By everybody, I mean 12 people in this room. Yes. But you're watching.
Well, no, it's... I mean, just the idea that I can go... Because I travel a ton. Mm-hmm. And so I constantly meet people that I don't think would know what Attack of the Show is just because they're...
They have social skills. They're, like, they're walking upright and
they're
breathing regularly.
Yeah, they're
and
fucking
they're aware
other,
of your
other
show.
People. Yeah, yeah they're fucking people and touching tits and stuff. And no, but... And
without then, consent. And let's be honest.
And then people know the show. And so it's been really fun for me because I feel like... I feel like I came in at a really good time, like when the show really was hitting its stride. And
yeah, you didn't have to fail miserably for years.
Oh, I did, just not on G4.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
No, it's weird. It used to be like, if I walk into a Best Buy, it was sort of like parting of the nerd Red Sea. You know, yeah. Like that was the one place I knew maybe someone was tuning in to Attack of the Show. And right. Now, like, I get that at the Verizon store, too. So we're clearly, we are branching out. We're doing pretty good.
You know, it's funny because we, you and I have the same sort of responses to things. In other words, we share this weird kind of vitriol from people who watch G4 about Apple. Because we enjoy Apple products. And people... I always get nervous when I have to review something Apple.
You're always so apologetic for having your opinion because people might attack you for having said opinion.
I mean, before I even opened my mouth, people were like, why don't you get off Steve Jobs' cock? And yeah. I'm like, I didn't even... They don't...
Steve wears that turtleneck to hide the hickeys you give him.
That's
Let's
right.
be honest.
Yeah.
Fucking fanboy.
He also has a turtleneck around his cock.
Yeah. Yes.
It's his foreskin. He's painted it black.
Yeah.
And, when are we viewing what?
Human, I
don't know. I don't get to review
the hentai pad.
No, yeah, hentai pad.
That is a very particular tablet.
It's great, but can it read?
I was love
the one
guy
that saw that South Park.
I loved it. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
No, that's a battle we both fight.
People
often.
Think that we get. They're like, yeah, the Apple owns you. Like, you don't understand. They don't give anyone anything.
No.
Like,
tell
at all.
Me about it.
Right. Well, how would you know?
I don't.
You work at
as a Dell employee. What I hear from you often.
Yeah.
You know, never mind.
They don't give people anything.
That's something I fight a lot, especially like when we bashed Sony for their network outages and whatnot recently. Mm-hmm. Fucking, you're an Xbox fanboy. They completely ignore that for years we've called bullshit on Xbox. We've called bullshit on Nintendo and on Sony and on Apple. If a company deserves it, we will certainly call bullshit on it. And I think we're really one of the last few shows out there on television that is willing and able to call bullshit on companies quite often.
When the 3G came out... we gave it a strong review when it first came out, and then after using it for a month, if you remember, the 3G had just an infinite number of bugs and problems, and it was super slow and, you know, freezing, and so
on AT&T still.
Right.
Which, you know, day one, you had that wanderlust over the product. This is the future. This is amazing. And then
stop restoring from backup, and you'll be fine.
Is that...
God. No, that's what you got to do. And so we re-reviewed it and said, you know, there are a lot of problems with it, actually. And we dropped the
we went back
down.
And dropped the rating. But that's totally forgotten because we're fanboys.
No, when people want to build a case against you, they'll build a case against you. Have you ever been on the G4 forums?
I've never been on. When I really want to hate myself.
I've never been on.
I will get a bottle of Zin and a razor blade just cut all night long and dive to the forums.
When Candace Bailey first took over, who's doing a lovely job, by the way. I think Candace is doing a great job.
Yep.
She, my advisor was... Never go on the message boards. Yeah. Ever.
Yeah, you have to stay off the internet for a while when you first come on Attack of the Show. You just got to stay away from it for a minute, and it'll come around. It's weird. Like, I get a decent amount of praise for what I do, which is amazing. I never thought in my life that someone would actually appreciate anything that I do. And yet that one negative asshole will just outshine an avalanche of positive praise. And it's just the weirdest thing. Like, it shouldn't work that way. But it totally does.
Yeah, well, especially, and it's all like, and it's an all caps. You're a piece of shit. Y O U R. You're like,
right,
and you give this guy's opinion credence. Like, you know,
I'll get into an argument with him. Like, 140 characters is not enough for me to slay you, you asshole.
I know. I got a Twitter fight with a guy recently. And
did you really?
Well, it was a fun Twitter fight because it was a lot of like. Web soup sucks, and you're a douchebag or whatever. And
don't
so,
fight on the internet.
No, fighting, I didn't. And it wasn't real fighting. It was genuinely fun. And so I was like, "Oh my god, I found this video of you when you were a kid." And I found a picture of a Jack Russell Terrier's anal glands being expressed in a bathtub, and just this woman's tattooed arm reaching in and just squeezing out these shit squirts.
Oh.
And really close up. And I was like,
"Was that her suicide girl name? Was shit squirts?
Shit squirts?
Like, you can tell by the sleeve.
So hot."
Yeah.
So hot.
You can't, arguing on the internet, like...
If it's brown, I'm going down.
I always say it's like fucking a belly button. You might feel like you're getting somewhere, but in the end, you're just dealing with a glazed stomach. You know, like, that's all that the internet is.
Opinions are like assholes. Most of them are shitty.
Yep.
That's what I always say. So it's interesting that we understand how web culture works, and yet it's still hard as human beings to divorce yourself from it, and you still get involved.
I deal with it all the time, but it's having that real time feedback is such, like, it's such a it's just the double edged sword, like the cliche of, we just did something on air. I think that went over pretty well. Oh, no, apparently it didn't. Because the entire world is telling me how much I failed at that. And we're back. Okay, it all goes away.
And what you realize is that the way your brain processes it, if you just see five tweets, you're like, everyone's going. And you're like, no.
Right.
Five people who are following you that know specifically what you're doing, who happen to be watching at that moment, it doesn't represent.
Right.
It doesn't represent.
But in somewhere in the brain, the hamster's running on the wheel going, they hate you.
Yes.
They hate you. But you're live, go. Yeah, so,
it is so, I mean, like, I've said this to you before, but your ability to do that show 5 days a week is mind-blowing. I mean, like, on weeks when I fill in, by Thursday night, I'm drooling. I forgot consonants. Like, I don't know. It's that, yeah. That show is mind melting.
Well,
it's
inherently when he's having a bad week, and I go, "What's the matter?" He's like, "Oh, I'm guest hosting Attack of the Show.
I'm so tired.
I thought it went from the show is the greatest, but when I'm done with it, I feel like I just got a lobotomy.
I love it. I mean, yeah. I genuinely love doing the show. I mean, what I never did before Attack was I never did live television before Attack of the Show, and so, I mean, there is no better training in the entertainment business than to be able to do a live television show where you know that no matter what goes wrong, you just have to fucking roll with it.
Yeah, well, thankfully, nothing ever goes wrong on Attack of the Show. We've actually never had a single miscue. It's always the best stuff.
Teleprompter goes out.
Yeah.
I mean, no, we make it all up.
No,
we make
totally
it all
improv,
up.
Totally improv.
Totally improv.
What do you want to do today? I don't know. Let's play some web videos.
Let's talk about some stuff.
Make some penis jokes.
Yeah. Are there times when, like, what are some segments that you really thought, oh my god, this was horrible, I just didn't go over well, and then you watch it and you're like,
day.
Oh, this actually worked out.
Well,
okay.
I don't watch it back. I still haven't reached that point where I can watch it back without an erection, and I can't stomach the show. I can't stand my own voice. I will likely not listen to this. I just hate it. It's not for me.
Finally someone that agrees with me.
Right? Like, I can't hang with it. And the real bitch of the show is that it's, I don't know how much it's fucked my brain. Like, I know it has a little bit. I don't know how much is the drugs, how much is the show and everything else.
Yeah.
Admittedly. But I don't remember what we did yesterday. Like,
right.
I don't, re- you could, I've had guests come on and it's their third time coming on and I'm like, it's a pleasure to meet you. I'm a fucking asshole. You've been on like three times, haven't you? Oh, awesome.
But it's hard because you work in the short-term memory.
Every day it's digest five new videos, three new products, get ready for this interview, learn this topic, go try to crush it.
I mean,
then forget it because the next day you've got
something
else.
You said it.
And forget it!
But I don't think what people understand.
You've reduced my brain to Ron Popeil.
That's right.
Thank you. I'm a fucking 3 a.m. infomercial.
You're a turkey cooker.
Yeah.
But what you guys don't understand about, I don't know if you know this about the show or not, but the way it works is, you know, people come in the morning, 9, 10 o'clock. They start calling all the stuff for the show. They start putting the show together that morning. There's a table read at 12:30. Table read's over at 1 o'clock, and you go into makeup and shoot whatever sketches are going to be for the show. And then you literally just do the show.
Four to five, we're live.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's the whole. It's just like an entire live hour of show gets written and produced in about 8 hours.
Oh, and it shows sometimes. like other shows have a staff. If they're doing like a live show, which is live to tape, they're not actually live. We are 10-second delay in case I say fuck, and then that's it.
Right.
Right. Other shows will go back. They'll do multiple takes of things, and that's that. They'll have a staff of like 140 people. A teams and B teams. A team is working on Monday. B team. Teams working on Tuesday.
B.A. Baracus?
What? Yes.
No,
yes. He hops out of a van. And,
they love it when a plan comes together, apparently.
And so they'll have these two teams working. Attack of the Show is like 42 people, including our post-production, legal, editors, you name it. And we are working on every single show every day. So when we want to do a comedy bit, it's like grab a green screen, get a flashlight, and light the scene and just go. And that's sort of the thrill and also the handcuffs.
It is, but it's also because you're so, I mean, the greatest thing about, I mean, if you can ever force yourself into a do or die situation, and not in terms of living or dying, but I mean in terms of your,
I know
your,
a couple rest stops if you want to put yourself in harm's way. You never know what's coming out of the hole. It's like, hey, could be a Dakota ring.
Listen, I put a glory hole in my own shower and put the fleshlight on the other side. But when you're in a do or die situation like that, it forces you to not be able to prejudge your, like, you have to do it.
Yeah.
You just have to do
it. There's been times, and I'm sure you've done this on stage and maybe even on Attack of the Show, where a sentence is coming out and you're going, fuck, don't say that. Don't finish this sentence.
Oh,
don't
yeah.
do this. Oh, I already started it. Well, all right, here we go.
Here we go.
And it's probably racist or sexist.
Right.
And then on the other end of it, I'm like, well, okay, can't dwell on that because the show has to keep
going. You mean like earlier when I told everybody where I was when Osama died?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, just like that. You can't take that back.
Yep, yeah, it's out there.
Yep, it's out there in
he
the world.
He can never take that from you again.
And I will not edit it out.
Did you find that the internet has ruined things in the sense that, like, Osama's announcement is there? And actually, before the president made his speech, all the jokes were made. There was already, like, a dubstep remix of it on YouTube. You know, like, there's the Friday, Osama's dead. Like, someone has already auto-tuned the tweets to it. And it's like, it doesn't give you a second to actually appreciate the moment happening or the response to it because everybody is so quickly trying to put their spin on it and get it out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no question that our culture is in a collective status update mode. Like, constantly. Yeah. It's just like, consume, consume, on to the next thing, on to the next thing, consume, consume. Or just like these voracious, just like at the end of Slither, you know, just like these, bleh, just these big blobby, you know, like that's sort of what we've become. But at the same time, you know,
but there were some great Foursquare jokes. You were
there
right.
There were some really good.
I just read one that he's he just checked in. He's the new mayor of the Coral Sea.
Hey.
So congrats.
Really?
Oh, Osama?
What the fuck
you
is guys. Wrong
with you people?
He
second row, Al-Qaeda! I knew it! I knew it!
Jesse's girl! Jesse's girl!
Operation Springfield took place in 2011. But the other thing is that it forces you to generate... It forces you to write more, which I think is always good. Anything that forces you to write more is always good. And it doesn't, you know, like, working on Attack doesn't give the producers time to second-guess things like, you know, like, I did a table read one morning, and like, oh, maybe we should get a donkey and a wizard hat. And fucking an hour later, goddamn donkey and a wizard hat.
Yeah.
Didn't, you know, like, on most shows, they would have to run that up the chain of command. Send it
or
to
at least question, is it worth it?
Yeah.
But on our show...
Nope.
Fucking
donkey with a wizard hat and then done. Yeah. You know, like get in, get out.
And that was our budget for a month. Thank you for that. You'd be surprised. Like, it's so funny. We have like charts of like, okay, can we rent a midget? Or how much is it? Do they have to have a handler?
Can you please say hire? Can you say hire a midget?
What, yeah. What, huh?
I don't know if you can rent. Rent is a...
We're not keeping him. He's not hanging out on the set. It's for a specific purpose.
Rent.
We'll make payments if we have to. But
least,
I mean, it's
at least. Come on.
At least.
Maybe you could rent to own.
Rent to own.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's so funny to go.
Guys,
like,
you end up paying way more for your midget if you do that.
Just borrow one.
Yeah.
Guys, please, I've said this a million times. Call them sliders. It's much nicer. Sliders. Tired of saying that.
But it's so funny to go, oh, that's a brilliant idea. All right, let's check the pockets. And no, we got 25 cents. We can put a post out on Craigslist and see if someone will do it for free. And sometimes they do.
Now, when you post that link, is it on Tiny URL?
It's on... Absolutely.
Sorry.
That's good.
Jonah, you looked like you just got hit by a wave or some sort. You're like, I'm going to take that in for a second.
No, I liked it a lot.
Okay,
that
good.
Good.
That was really good.
Oh, Jesus. But
I'm glad you're amazing on it. And the moment you came on to do Gadget Prawn, I looked at Gavin, who was the producer at the time, and I was like, yep, that he will now be a fixture. I knew at G4 more so than Attack of the Show.
So nice.
And so it's so great to have you on.
I love there. We'll slobber all of each other's knobs. I love working on the show.
Let me talk about your eyes. I want to get lost in them. Give me some.
I get lost in your eyes. That's Debbie Gibson. Ask your parents about her.
Oh, you mean
Megan Shark versus Giant Octopus? Before she had a film career, she was a musician.
Ah.
Did anyone see Giant Shark versus Gatoroid or whatever it was? The sequel. One guy.
They made a sequel.
They made a sequel.
Slow clap.
One set of very clammy.
How
hands
was it?
Coming together.
Not good.
What?
Untrapped. Now, see what should have happened.
I'm waiting for the Blu-ray.
Here's it. Here's the thing. After if I had Michael Bay's money and weird position in this business, what I would do is...
You'd fuck Megan Fox at her audition, too?
Yes.
Yeah. You guys heard that story. Did you not hear that story?
Oh, we fucked
her. No. Yeah, we'll get to that later. I'm sorry.
Oh, no,
continue. Yeah, I want to hear what you would do with Michael Bay money.
I kind of want to hear it now.
Yeah? Easy.
I'm going to come, and I want an explosion.
You know, after your story earlier, that's a little too visceral.
Someone MMS me a picture of an explosion during this blowjob, because I will check my phone. Classy.
What someone like Michael Bay should do is watch a movie like Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus and go, the sequel, $100 million blockbuster.
Right.
And you fucking go in and blow it out.
That was called Transformers 2.
God damn it. Yeah. I have to say, though,
terrible franchise.
I feel like I'm torn because the trailer for Transformers 3 looks
Stop
kind
it.
Of
He's going to
cool.
hurt you again.
Terrible.
I know.
Terrible.
He's going to hurt you again.
He didn't hurt me the second time because I didn't see Transformers didn't see 2. But yeah. Transformers 3, like, the trailer looks
Fuck that
cool.
trailer. We're you know, on, like, you're on the dark side of the moon. Now we can communicate, which you fucking can.
All right. I know. I'm sorry.
Bring some logic Wait. Into the Transformers
Thank you.
Movie. Like,
they're aliens. It's obviously logical.
These 5-ton machines bouncing around like Chinese acrobats.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have an issue with.
Kevin, they are aliens. It is okay.
But that was just an Optimus Prime was like, I want to listen to Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd.
Just relax.
You know that when in the edit bay, it's Michael Bay on set going, yeah, shake the camera over there, and the After Effects asshole gets to put in the robots. He'll figure out my movie later. Like, there's no pre-production. He's just like, all right, this scene is a desert. Shake the shit out of that thing. And let's do some mountains now. Yeah, fucking explosions go there, and later.
There's Michael, I was going to put a helicopter. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say.
There's actually no script. It's just an audio recording of Michael Bay going like, and then it's like, and then he's like, and he's like, and then it's like, yeah, then the rest.
You mean that? You got it. And credits.
Then we get those two racist robots. It's good.
Hey!
Wait, Chris Gore was here and you said Chris Gore. Wait, hang on a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You what?
Yeah.
But that recording.
Wait, what did Chris Gore ruin for you?
The centipede thing.
What human centipede?
Did he have you do it?
you mean he ruined it for you? Like, you thought it was awesome before?
Because I've seen
one of
your middle.
That's the worst.
She was so excited to see it, but after what he said, it was kind of just no point anymore.
Oh, did you not make up your own mind about something?
Well, I guess someone's not getting a Team Jonah shirt.
No, guys, I got them right here. I got a box of them. No one?
I made it myself. Yeah. Puffy paint.
Hooray! Thank you for that show support. Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Too. All right, easy. That's easy. Let's make a... Oh, I that's, love you too. That's right, let's make a... He can watch. I'm cool with that. You gotta... I'll FaceTime you from the other room with it. Absolutely.
Flashlights are made of people! I want to talk about Cluster.
Oh, yeah.
Because I want to talk about...
No, let me throw your failures in your face,
it's
Chris.
Not
Let's
it's not a failure. It's not a failure. Believe me, I have more failures than anyone could ever imagine. But I don't think it's a failure because, to me, something like that, when you undertake something, it's a huge learning experience. Yeah, and I have so much respect for the fact that you did it. Cluster.
I burnt bright. I was an Icarus on this one. When it was done, it was just the wax and feathers on my floor.
Do you mind talking? Because I want. Because I feel like it's a valuable story. Because I feel like there are other people out there in software development, and I feel like it is a valuable experience.
Now learn from my pain. very quickly developed a piece of software, a social media aggregator. It was just a ploy to put as many buzzwords together as possible to get funding. Site didn't do shit. But the idea was that it would go out and crawl your Twitter stream and your Facebook streams and then aggregate all the different media types visually so that at a glance you could say, hey, Kay Pereira, and pull it up. And there were all my videos, photos, websites, and musics that I was listening to all right there visually. You could click, share, and then it would learn your preferences and recommend media based off other people. And I said, okay, let's go ahead and do this idea. And then a year later, I'm broke and the website is down. So hope you learned a lesson from that story.
Now tell us about all your breakups.
Yeah. Well, they usually happen over text.
Tell me about
I just it. Don't tell them. I change it to it's complicated, and they figure out the rest.
And they think you're talking about the Denise Richards show on E. I think he's watching the Denise Richards show. That was a show.
I was unaware.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're probably better off. That
I don't feel there's no.
It's complicated.
No, but I built this. I learned a lot of lessons on it. One was don't have a business partner who's going to have a nervous breakdown and then be convinced he's an alien.
check.
I wish that were just a joke. Really happened. And so that's the biggest deal, is that, like, don't rush into an idea too quick with someone unless you... Because a business partnership is more serious than a marriage. Way more serious. And I learned that very quickly. Because marriages are whatever. You get those and, you know, leave those
sure.
fly by night.
Right.
But a business partnership does involve money. And so that sucked. And I also learned, like, I was iterating on all these ideas and, oh, wouldn't it be cool if, and, oh, the site should do that. And we were playing around with it like mad. And we built it up to be kind of cool. But I realized, like, I was building a house, but I didn't ask if anybody wanted to come on over and visit and what they would do with it. So we just let, it was a team of like four people. We spun our wheels on this, sank a lot of money and a lot of passion and time into it. But then when it was time to like unveil it, people were like, yeah, yeah, those features are all cool, but it's really this core feature that we wish did X, Y, and Z, like three little things. And, oh, shit, we're out of money. So, well, that would have been cool. Goodbye.
Oh,
site deleted.
Just like an abandoned copper mine or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I got to watch it grow. I mean, like, you told me about it, and then I saw the initial mm-hmm. designs for it, and the site was gorgeous. Like,
was,
you know,
really
you said,
good.
You're like, look, it's HTML5. You can run it on your iPhone. Like, it was really simple and clean and a really cool idea. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, so what did you get from the whole experience?
Well, you know, I learned you can have the execution is everything. And people will tell you, like, the 98% rule being that, like, 98% of the work is actually easier than you could ever imagine. It's that last 2% that is going to fuck you. And mm-hmm. that is so true. Like starting is easy. Even the middle of the road was like, yeah, let's make some decisions. But finishing that project, getting it to a point where, all right, I'm now ready to talk about it and launch it. I never got there. And in hindsight, I should have just done it. Like, I'd never mentioned it on Attack of the Show. I probably should have. Could have got a few thousand users and built it up and maybe turned it into something. But I was so reluctant to push something that I had made onto the world and onto the viewers of the show. It just kind of felt dirty to do
right.
when it wasn't quite finished. And never fully knowing that it'll never be finished. You know, just like music or any other thing that creatively, for me, that I get into, you never really finish it. You just sort of have to walk away from it and abandon it and put it out there at some point and hope that people like it.
But what's interesting now is that people are so accustomed, because of technology, they're accustomed to things coming out and not being done. I mean, like,
right.
if there's no other sector, like, you wouldn't get on a plane and be like, oh, yeah, we're going to put the wings on in the next update. You're like,
yeah.
it better be fucking done, you know?
Yeah.
And now,
well, no, if you're Southwest, you can leave the roof off. Like, sorry, guys, this flight is an alpha.
You are literally now free to move about the country.
Exactly. Whether you want to or not.
Whether there's a plane underneath you or not. But that's what I think is, you know, that's what I think is so interesting, is that, you know, especially because you were exactly right about the 2%. I wrote a book. The first draft was way easier than I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the notes back.
Right.
And it's just that last little bit of, now you're forcing me to think about
right.
what I made.
Yeah, you've done 6,000 to 8,000 words probably, but now you have to go back and shuffle around 500 of them, or clip a sentence here, or
right.
tweak something there, and it's the hardest process in the world.
Yeah, well, that's 64,000 words, but it doesn't matter.
Oh, all right.
But
is that really? It's 64,000 words?
Yeah, it's 64. Wow. Almost 61.
Will there be a Twitter version? Because that's too long, didn't read material right there.
No. I'm going to tweet every sentence on my Twitter feed every day. Remember when Twitter first started and some people used it like that? They're like, I'm going to tweet a novel. And you're like,
you mean like Kevin Smith?
Remember Kevin Smith?
Yeah.
Did Kevin do that?
He does it today.
He still does it.
People use it very long form.
Twitter's
kind of screwed up the way that I write and the way that I think. Like, now it's like, oh, that's an interesting observation, but it's too long. Let's trim that down and take out everything that made that clever or remotely descriptive.
And see, I feel like it's forced me to learn how to economize, when I used to just waste words. And now it kind of forced me to write things more succinctly when, mm-hmm. you know, when I didn't before.
I just, my ASCII penises have gotten so much shorter.
Very, very small.
Because you cannot fit that many equal signs in there.
And
then you have less
B
tildes,
and capital
and
D.
It's like, no, it needs to be a big load. Let's get a couple in there.
Yeah, open parentheses, dot, close parentheses, dot, tilde, cum load. Yeah, I know. I'm not over that. I want to see more ASCII art. Like, I feel like it's a...
I think that's been done in the dial-up days. Like, there's ASCII porn for pretty much everything
you can
imagine.
What was your first? What was your first account? Your first ISP?
I did bulletin boards. I ran a couple of those for a while.
Yeah.
And then was being investigated for running a piracy board. So no free copies of Doom for you. Let's close that. So shut that down. And then my first ISP was actually, it was called the Knowledge Network, and it was like a spinach green Pacific Bell. Ran it back in the day, and it was super slow to connect to. But it was like me, astrophysicist, and then like the guys who created the first Smileys on this thing called the Knowledge Network at a computer at like a local library that no one knew how to use. So I just forced myself to learn it. So it was a really cool time to be online. And then I discovered like Style Project and Rotten.com, and then the rest is history.
I don't know if I – maybe I have talked about this in the podcast, but it's funny that there was a time – my first account was AOL. Mm-hmm. MTV gave us everyone AOL accounts.
So ahead of their time.
So ahead of their time.
Love it.
Well, this was – I mean, no, this
no,
was –
it was ahead of their time, actually.
It really was, actually. I don't want to say the date, but it was a long time ago. And and so, I mean, let me just put it this way. When I first got on AOL, everyone, like, every other comment was R.I.P. Kurt Cobain. but what was interesting was that we broke away from AOL because they walled the web off from people. It was a very limited web experience.
And yet we are going to get back to that.
Straight back. Like straight Facebook back. Went straight back. Then people are like, it's just like when a kid is like, I'm going to go to the deep end. And then goes back to the shallow end.
Well, no, what they do is they open the pool and tell you the water's warm. Everybody come on in. And then slowly but surely they're cementing it in. And so you realize you're only left with the shallow end. And the nearest pool is miles away. And the concrete's going to be really fucking hot on your feet. So you don't want to get out. Like they're just closing it all down. And net neutrality, that is going to be the biggest issue of our time, I think. Not just for nerds, because it's directly related to freedom of speech and the closing down and walling off of content and accessibility.
Yeah.
That is going to happen in our time, and that's going to be really weird as they start to close those walls in.
Do you really think that'll happen?
They're going to – well, I mean, if you look at what happened with the Google and Verizon deal, which basically says hands off of wired broadband, right? Net neutrality is going to exist there. Any content you want – it has the same equal chance of getting to your screens or your ears or whatever as anybody else. Level playing field. On the wireless spectrum, though, they're locking it down.
Yeah.
And they're saying that Verizon and Google and anybody else can say, well, unless you pay X amount of dollars, you're not going to have access to the Nerdist podcast.
Right.
Because it's explicit or you're not in their network.
Right.
So they start shutting you down. Right. They're going to start shedding
things
down.
It turns into fucking healthcare.
Yeah.
It just turns into those are out of network services. So,
pretty much.
Yeah, you can't listen to that.
Do you have the PPO podcast? You know, like you haven't met your deductible. Sorry, you can't listen to that. It's I don't mean to be alarmist about it, but it's true that.
It's fucking happening, people!
Run! But it's true. Like they're going to lock it down, and it's going to be on the wireless side of things. And broadband's not getting any better in this country. The way it's improving right now is through 4G LTE, so it's all going to be wireless. And then they're going to tell you what services you can get and how you can get them. As long as whatever I'm creating can be acquired, hey, cool, I'll keep my mortgage. But it sucks. It really sucks, and it's going that way.
But
let's go back to internet porn in the early days.
Yeah.
Remember when it would come interlaced one lane at a time?
Oh, yeah, you'd wake up in the morning and you'd start to download porn, and by dinner time you were spanking off.
Yeah, I'd be like, all right, we only got to nipples, but can I hold out till the Yeah, let's see what's going on.
In my generation of porn, you had to jerk off to scrambled images on channels you didn't get. Is that a titty, a shoulder, a pussy? I don't know. I'll just...
But we finished. We liked it.
Yeah.
I just want to point out, when we were all talking about porn just then, Matt looked at his phone because he got a text message.
Are you coming right now, Matt? Are you coming right now?
I already have.
Are texts like Pavlovian for you? Like
you're starting to combine them all, like George Costanza with food and sex.
Oh, if I could eat a sandwich.
I say it every week. You look good, though.
Yeah, it's coming.
You look good.
So what kind of porn do you watch?
Okay,
are you a red tube guy? Uges? Pink Lab? Like, what is
Pink Lab?
Pink Lab? No? Because now we're spoiled. Now you can have walls of streaming pornography just scrolling across your screen. It's like you're like the architect in the Matrix.
Yeah.
Like, just. Yep. Oh, like, there's a gaping. That might be a glitch in the Matrix.
Neo, I'll be with you in a second.
No, Tank, I really need a patch. I gotta fly this helicopter.
I gotta release a couple of agents. Yeah. I got some sentinels. That's what the sentinels were. That was just the robots shooting loads into the tubes.
Now the movie actually makes sense.
It totally. Yeah.
It's 2 and 3 just did not.
No.
No, but really, I'm not. What do you watch when you're?
I don't know. I don't really. I mean,
you don't know.
I don't. I mean, I've seen Red Tube.
You told me. I casually passed by a website or three online on my way to winning a free iPod.
Here's a couple of.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I've clicked those
ads. To be fair, I was trying to make my cock 3 inches longer.
Oh, yeah.
And then some sexy local wanted to chat with you.
Yeah.
Oh, they never do.
How'd she know where I live?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that's when I lost a kidney. but let's see. I've been on YouPorn.
Yeah.
Been on YouPorn and RedTube, and I think that's it. I've never heard of, what did you say, Pink Locker?
yeah. That probably is a site. Yeah, that probably is.
Our friend April O'Neil is here. She does adult stuff.
Hi, April O'Neil.
Where are you?
Hey.
Hi. Oh, there you are. Hey, April, how's it going?
Hi,
do you do, like, what do you mean, adult stuff? Like webcam shows or?
Come here.
Oh,
come here.
Right. That whole thing.
April, come here for a second.
She's April off the clock, Chris. Put that down.
Hey, April.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So is it weird that in an industry that you rely on that people can just go on? I mean, like, are you guys suffering like the
music industry? Just like the music industry. Yeah. It totally kills it.
Because I met April for the...
I buy tickets to the live shows of the bands that I love, so I'm just saying... I don't know what the meltdown schedule is this week, but if we could...
Listen, give your vagina away for free on the internet and then charge people for it in life, just like a band.
Or what's the sex equivalent to the ringtone? Because that's going to save the industry.
Moantone.
You can call us now. In Texas.
Really?
Yeah. That's how we make like the most money now, like webcam stuff, because it's all live. Everybody wants to see it.
Like the old 900 number days.
Yeah, just like that.
I met April for the first time when I went to the Adult Entertainment Expo with our EP Vinnie Rutherford, and I think we had talked about this because I was like, oh, the AE didn't really seem that impressive, and you're like, no, it's getting crushed.
Yeah, it's way worse than it used to be. I mean, it's just slowly going downhill.
Is there any
which at one point worked very well for the industry, slowly going down, but now
pay for your porn.
If we learn nothing else, please pay for your pornographies.
Matthew, please, not everyone can be orally serviced while world events are happening. Some of us have to go online and watch Flash technology. we'll have you on a future podcast and we can kind of talk about this because I'm curious to we had Dana D'Armand on. And then, where can people find you on the webs?
Twitter.
Yeah. Twitter, just April O'Neil. UNDEUX.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, it's Frenchy.
Yeah,
it's nice.
That's the sound I make when I finish.
Le
fin.
That's weird, because...
Oh, 14.
I just yell, we got him.
We got him.
Mission accomplished.
Drop the banner.
Yes.
Yeah. Both headshots, by the way. Congrats. Well done.
So when you said nice job, Mr. Bush, you weren't talking about April, thank you so much for coming up and chatting for
a sec.
We'll have you on in a future episode. April O'Neil. I would love to. Do you mind if we open the floor up to some questions?
Certainly. Yeah.
Are there questions? Anyone have questions?
Does anybody actually have a question?
Kevin Pereira, questions? Questions for Kevin Pereira? Or was everything just answered? anyone have a question?
Wow.
Come on, nerds.
The what? Oh, someone wants to know the Megan Fox story.
Oh, I didn't fuck Megan Fox, but. It's hearsay. It's like three people removed. But apparently the audition involved the, hey, you know, there's going to be a scene in this movie where you're going to have to wash a car.
Okay.
Which was in the first Transformers.
All right, I'm listening.
And so it was, well, my Ferrari is in the driveway.
Okay.
So why don't you go out there and start washing it? I'll film you.
Sure.
And we'll see if it's captivating. And that's how it begins.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Cue softcore music and
probably explosions. My dick will be in you. We might cut that out, but seriously.
But it'll be good. All right, so that was...
Yeah, it wouldn't be gentlemanly to tell the whole story, and that's what I am as a gentleman. So yep. I'm not going to get into further
details.
After
the pink barn or whatever it was.
How dare you?
What?
It's Pink Lab.
Pink Lab?
Pink
like,
lab.
That makes it sound more scientific.
There are lab coats and beakers
the
involved.
The science of pussy.
Yeah. I put on goggles and gloves whenever I go to it, just in case there's a spillover. I'll be going to the pink lab now. Don't disturb me. Hold my calls.
I'll be right in. I'm just reading academic hand jobs. Library fistings.
Ooh.
That's probably a site as well.
Yeah. I'm gonna make your decimal system all Dewey. Get out of town. Anybody else have any questions? Oh, God, this young gentleman, come up here so that we may microphone you.
Uh-oh. He didn't bargain for that.
quick.
Please don't shout Screensavers rules
get
into
up
the microphone.
Here.
Please.
What is, there? What
please
is your name, young man?
I'm Raphael. Came from Chicago.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Holy
welcome.
Shit.
Just for this podcast? You're totally lying.
Kevin. Wow, thank you.
Sure. My question is, what was the most challenging part about finding a new co-host for a second show?
Oh, yeah.
Was it the car washing in the driveway?
It was mostly... Yeah. It was finding enough Carmex to really make everybody comfortable.
Yeah, how was I mean, like, in as much as you can talk about it, how was the transition from what I call the Munder years?
What would you do if I bailed on you?
If I jumped in a pie? Would you stand up and walk around?
You know, it was...
And I went to the Daily Show.
Oh, yeah. That's right. It was an awkward time, to say the least, to be honest. Like, it was weird. Like, we kind of had an idea that clearly Olivia was moving on. Like, I know that there was, if your schedule permits, but that was very clear that her schedule was not going to permit.
Right.
And so we were sort of like, okay, well, what do we do? This is going to be big shoes to fill. And I wanted to take a year and do a giant coast to coast. I wanted every person with a webcam to try an audition to, like, do it. You know, we could call it Kevin's Casting Couch, whatever. And...
April O'Neil.
Like, yeah, you know, I was really gunning for like just a year to just bang anything that moved. And it was clear that, no, we got to be serious and do this right. So
we got to be serious and string a hot dog from the ceiling.
Yeah.
And make sure she's right for the role.
Absolutely. And that was one of the things that was discussed, though, when it was like when we were bringing in new people was...
Is that a box to check? Would you eat a hot dog hanging from the ceiling?
I think it was actually discussed as the, quote, hot dog factor.
Like, I love the hot dog factor. Rogan hosted that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Clearly, hot dogs are not a factor for you. It was one of the things that was discussed, like the willingness to just go there. And by go there, I mean deep throat kielbasa. Yeah. And it was hard because we actually did. We had people come on.
Was
for
it
like
Kevin?
A week or two. Very. All 3 inches.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, though, what I mean, what I can tell you is that because I've worked on shows before and where they get needed a co-host and you audition and you know, I think Olivia made it look very easy, and of course I worked with Jenny McCarthy, and she sort of had that same thing of just like, yeah, I'm a girl, and I'll get in a bikini, but then I'll fuck around and make fart jokes. And,
right.
And you really think like, oh, that's, of course, everyone does that. And then you start auditioning girls who look that way, and you find out they don't want to look stupid, so they're unwilling to... Do it.
But they're standing next to me, so by default, you know, we both look pretty stupid. Like, there's no getting around that. Like,
no.
And some of these girls would come in, and we would audition, and they were young, they were attractive, some of them were actually into technology, and one girl in particular, we had a really good audition, and then I was running through the same stuff with, like, 175 women. Like, when we casted Olivia, we did, like, 300 women, so for a day, I did the same bits over and over and over, trying to keep them fresh. To have it feel like a show. And this one girl came in, she was probably like number 70, and it was a really good audition. At the end, she was like, yeah, no, I really wanted to get into this hosting stuff. I think this would be a great stepping stone on my way to the career. And I went, did you just refer to my show as a stepping stone? Like, I will have sex with you, but I will not let you host this show with me. How dare you? Like, that is ridiculous. And that was, you know, kind of an issue with some of these, some of the girls. And honestly, like, Candace has stepped in, and I think she's doing an admirable job, to
I
say the
Candace.
Least.
Like, she's great.
It's not easy to come into a role like that and fill those shoes, to say the least. But if you go back and look at when Olivia first started, it took about 6 or 7 months before the shows were at all the attitude that they are today and the level of comfort was there. It took a good 6 to 7 months.
If you're not used to hosting that kind of show is very specific muscle. You have an earpiece in, there's people shouting at you in your ear, there's a teleprompter, there's three different cameras, there's B-roll, there's shit flying, there's graphics on the screen. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like, you know, and you have to do everything in an exact amount of time because it's a live show and there's no, you just have to stick to time.
Right.
And so it is an incredibly, you know, as far as this business goes, it's a challenging job. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, to put in perspective, Candace first started and I, you know, we went out to dinner, we're chatting and she's like, well, my grandfather is a pastor or minister or something like that, something very religious. And she was, so that was going through the back of her head every time we'd vault into reacts and jokes. And I'm like, look, you're going to have to let that go at some point because next week we're building the world's largest tea bag and it's going to, it's going to drop on your forehead. So you might just, yeah, and slowly but surely those walls are being chiseled. So I'm very confident that, and the numbers, even without DirecTV, candidly, are higher than they've ever been. So for all our fears about, oh, is this show going to work? Is it going to go somewhere? So thank you, everybody in the room, for helping be a part of that, really. Because it's a crazy ride. It's a crazy journey.
I mean, there's literally no other show that does what Attack does.
No.
I mean, it's so unique. And
no other shows on television show clips from YouTube and then comment on them when they're done showing them. It's unheard of.
Besides Web Soup, there are no other shows do that. Zero other shows
that I'll watch
that do that. anyone else have any questions? Yes, this young lady in the Dalek shirt. Come up here so we can put you on the amplification device. Oh, my God, I referenced flying Vs earlier, and there are flying Vs on your purse.
Oh.
I'm purse psychic. Okay,
wait,
I'm sorry.
The Dalek killed Bender.
Oh, my God, is that what happened?
Oh, that's not cool.
Oh, yeah, the Dalek killed Bender. Oh, the Dalek killed all of them. As it would, yeah, because Daleks are filled with hate.
I suppose they exterminate.
My name is Ashley, and
Hi,
I've been
Ashley.
Watching Attack of the Show since freshman year, and I'm graduating like in a few months. So
awesome!
So that's four years.
Seniors.
That sounded. It almost sounded like a support group, though. My name is Ashley, and I do watch Attack of the Show.
I'm actually quite proud of it. I abandoned my friends after school and ran home just to get home.
I'm sorry you have to abandon all your friends.
No, my friends are freaking stupid. They have no idea what like they're. Not
convert them, please.
One of them already likes you, so you're good.
No, all right. One out of the 20 thinks you're passable.
No, they're all imaginary. I'm sorry.
What a rabbit hole. Let's delve further. What college is this?
I'm in high school, dude. Senior.
Oh,
graduating.
That won't stop him. Get it, Jonah.
You're in high school? Uncle Jonah will buy you some beer.
I'm real cool like that.
Well, like I was gonna ask, where do you really see Attack of the Show going? Because I've been watching it and it's just been like moving and moving. I'm sorry, I'm really shaky.
No worries.
But like it's been like really moving, and we got to like wrestle a greased pig, and that was awesome.
Oh, that was a dream of mine.
We got
it really was.
We got to see like an ASCII penis in the sky get skewered, and nothing happened.
Yeah.
So basically, like, where do you see it? Like, do you think it's gonna like keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger? And what the heck is a hoon, please? Because I have no idea.
Ride whips and hoons.
Hoons.
I have no idea.
It's a term that no one in this room would ever fucking use to describe their car.
Like, I've asked people, and they have no idea.
Yeah. Well, as you may remember from before you were born, Shannon Hoon was the lead singer of Blind Melon.
Oh.
Remember the B-Girl? Come on. Yeah. It's me trying to connect with the high school.
From that
the
oldie B-Girl, station.
No rain, B-Girl. Oh,
Spice Girls, that's retro. That's so retro.
It's fetch.
Come on. And I start to complain when there's no rain. Come on. What do they teach you in school? The fuck do they teach you in school? Aren't you taking MTV history in school by now? Are you in?
I ignore MTV. It's just full of herpes now.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. You hear that, MTV? You fucking hear that? Was that it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So where's it going? Oh.
And I really liked when Sarah dressed up as Wonder Woman and then like you kissed Kevin on the cheek. That was awesome. Do that again.
Please. Do it again.
Okay.
Should have been
I'm
on the mouth.
Know. Kiss I'm Kevin. Fucking do it right
yeah,
now.
Buy me something in the truck. Hold on.
Kevin, Osama bin Laden's dead.
I got it. Oh, yeah. I thought.
What?
I thought you were.
Do you?
I was gonna.
What?
Someone text me quick.
Should
Go
we?
Ahead.
Do you want to 11 each other?
When it's done, it will recede into its own footprint.
That's right.
The question was, where do I see Attack going? I can't answer the hoon thing. I'm sorry. I hate it just as much as everybody else. I don't see it going, and that is what has kept it going. I believe for me is never guessing what next week is going to hold, because eventually everything's going to get canceled.
I don't believe you.
It will happen. I hope that, you know, obviously I hope the budgets get bigger. I hope awareness gets bigger. We had like seeing the show on billboards was a crazy trip for a long while.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There were billboards everywhere. Yeah.
They were all over New York, too.
It totally slowed my commute back home because I had to pull over at each one
to
enjoy
the
Photoshop.
And then I was texting him.
Come on, fucking AT&T. You're killing this bar.
Drive further down Fairfax.
So I don't, like, I hope the budgets get bigger. I hope we keep going. I hope we get to revisit the ASCII penis in the sky. Like, when I pitched that, I was like, you got to use the guys that do the dot matrix puffs, that do the little smoke, and no one was willing to draw a dick in the sky. Believe it or not. And one company signed up for it, and the guy who was actually doing it was so nervous about drawing a sky penis that he went to practice at a Nevada airfield, went to the bar, and got drunk. So the guy that was drawing the sky dong was wasted trying to draw testicles.
And you know what he was singing the whole time? Dick in the sky keeps on turning. Yeah. I don't know where I'll be tomorrow.
Allegedly. So I don't know where it's going to go, but I like that, and I think it keeps it fresh. And I hope, like, my only hope for the show is that we are someday an answer to a Trivial Pursuit piece question. Like, that is it. And I said that to the team at a meeting. We were, like, kind of recalibrating and reflushing out. Like, we try to come up with what we believe the ideal viewer is, and it's sort of this weird combination of our own personalities on the show. And I was like, guys, one day we might be a Trivial Pursuit answer. And everybody just kind of looked down and sighed depressed when I said that. Like, that's our life's work. And I was like, think about it for a second. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in 30, 40 years' time, we might be something that guys at a country club or an opium den or an AM/PM restroom will look up from each other's waistlines and say, remember that show? Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
You know, like... That's awesome. I'll take that. Like, I will absolutely take that, and that will be a fucking honor.
Any other? There's a couple of hands. Okay.
Hey-o. Hey-o.
What? Hey, come over. Way to look out for your girl, though. That was nice. Hey, fucking right here.
Yeah. Yo.
It's like those really protective guys in the playground in New York. Hey, my fucking kid wants to bat. What the fuck? Dad, please. You're embarrassing me. Nah, you fucking came out here. You're going to fucking bat.
I'm Crystal.
Hi, Crystal.
Hi. I know sometimes I see you do e-news. You have to do little parts on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it weird when
I wouldn't call them little. I think they're featured spots.
Was it weird when they kind of asked you to do that? And is it, like, really awkward to be in their studio as compared to, like, AOTS where you have about, like, 40 people kind of hanging out?
Yeah, yeah. No, their studio's it's kind of cold. You walk over there, and that's like you have to, if a Seacrest appears, immediately avert the eyes.
But
which is hard, because you can't look down or you'll see the top
of his
head.
He's not a race of creatures like vampires.
No, it is.
Guys, there's a Seacrest under my bed.
Yeah, he's like a Snooki.
He's a Snooki.
You hear the wall scrapings, and that's it. It's a little weird over there, but like the videos that we cover, like, it's weird that Juliana tosses to me and I said the word pussy in my bit like 2 weeks ago and they cleared it and it was cat related. But I dropped a P-bomb like 4 times and I'm like, wow, I'm interrupting Juliana and Ryan Seacrest to say pussy during their show. That's pretty cool.
I'm surprised you get away with that.
Yeah.
Cause every time I kept getting kind of like finger wagged. On Chelsea for stuff that I would say on G4, and they were like, "Yeah, you can't say that." I'm like, "I just
on
said
Chelsea?
It on Attack of the Show." Yeah,
really?
Yeah, because we're just a little, you know.
I'm shocked we get away with half the shit we say during our show, but like that's half the fun is loading up Urban Dictionary and finding something that Standards and Practices doesn't know about yet.
Well, you can say horrible things if it's double entendre and you're showing a picture. Like, we got away on Web Soup once. There was a giant cat like stuck in a tiny doggy door, and I was like, "That is a tight pussy hole," and we totally got away with it.
Yeah,
because they were like, "Well," like he did the math, and he was like, "All right,
yeah.
Let it go."
I guess
waving
fine.
On through. Yep. He's all right, waving through.
Yeah, it always amazes me.
It's so funny because I mean our censors are really actually nice guys, and it's funny to go in there and actually have serious debates about, well, if I say pussy hole, I mean there's
the emails from legal every day are what get me. Like, we print some of them out and post them up on the cubicles. It'll be like, bleep fuck, bleep fucking fuck, bleep dick fuck. You have to bleep Arabian out of goggles. You have to like. You know, just like the weirdest shit. You got to censor that, and that comes through as an email. And it's very like clinical, straight-laced, tie-wearing folks that have to go like, you can't say, that's one, like we had an interview and they were like, you can say shart once. You get one use of the word shart and that is it. And we dropped it like three times. Like, why the fuck not?
I mean, I do like to say to Keith, just casually passing over, like, so how many times can I say cunt bubble on the show?
Right.
And he's like, yeah.
If I make creative commentary on it, I can say it, right?
Have you ever slipped on the show?
One time in years, like in 5 years of doing live whatever daily, I was quoting Idiocracy. And I bleeped the F, but I dropped a shit bomb. It was the President Camacho speech. Where he's like, shit's fucked up. And I said shit, and I bleeped fuck, and I was just like, oh, there it went. That was the slip.
And they don't. They're on delay though.
They missed it, which was awesome. Oh, like nice. It made it through. Yeah, it's somebody's job to really sit there with headphones on, close their eyes, and try to catch whenever I say, taint bag or something like that.
I'm so comfortable doing a tech that I have almost just been like, just talking to you, to you or whatever, or Candace or Allison or anyone, and just be like, yeah, it's like these. Like almost saying these fucking guys and like and not realize like, oh no, this is not my living room, like this is a studio.
But that's what we aim for. That is, something I told Candace from day one and everybody that auditioned. I was like, the goal of the show is to make it seem like you're just fucking hanging out on a couch watching these videos. When we're talking about a cell phone, say what you would to a friend who asked you, should I get this phone? The goal is not to watch anybody read prompter perfectly, because clearly we can't do that. But the goal is to just make it look like you're hanging out. So that was always the reach. So I'm glad you feel that way when you're on. Like, I'm glad not only that you can get to that place, but that the environment is welcoming enough.
Oh my God, it's so much fun. I mean, you have to understand, for me, there was this unspoken MTV curse, which is, everything's different now because a lot of people cross over on media all the time.
Yeah.
But back in the 90s,
You were born.
That sounds weird.
Back when you were watching the Teletubbies. Or whatever you fucking kids watch. I don't know what you watch.
As we were loading up JPEGs of titties.
As we had to draw titties with a dot matrix computer just to see titties. back in those days... oh my God, old man forgot what he was saying.
Yeah. Hold on, let me shake my cane at the front lawn of the internet for a second.
Oh, the MTV curse was, you work for MTV, you probably won't get to go do anything else. So, G4 really allowed me to not only continue to work, but also express myself in a way that I always wanted to and never had the opportunity to. I mean, if you ever watch Singled Out or Shipmates, you're watching me. I mean, Shipmates, they didn't guard me as closely. So I would close episodes of the show, after two drunken New Jersey, Jersey Shore types of people would throw drinks in each other's face. And I'd be like, be sure to root for Gryffindor in the upcoming Quidditch trials, And so I actually said that on it.
That's awesome.
Because they didn't stop me.
Dad didn't get it when he was watching.
No, they didn't stop me. The only time they ever flagged something I said was the weirdest. Like, I was making all sorts of nerd references on Shipmates. And I said Mussolini once, and they're like, can't say that.
What?
I'm like, why not? Like, no one's going to fucking know who that is. And I'm like,
that is true.
Quidditch trials?
That is true.
Mussolini. I'm like, I think I actually said to the executive producer, I was like, they fucking should. If that makes someone look up who Mussolini is, then we accomplished something.
Oh, he was a bad guy.
Yeah, he was real bad. So that was a lot of fun, and just G4 has been such a great experience for me. So I hope
we're still a young budding network, like we really still are in the grand scheme of things. And
yeah,
we won't last. Don't worry.
No, but we just got our training tits. G4.
Yeah. We're squeezing them together. We're making the best of it. We're top shadowing and
three-quarter perspective. We're putting on the lipstick and the JonBenet dress.
We'll blow the contrast out and put the flash in the mirror. We'll do what we can to gussy them up for Facebook.
The sash. Yeah, you can put it on there. It's good. Any other questions before we wrap this up? Well, you're right here in the front. What do you got going on? What's your name?
Dan.
What's your question?
Again, you were awesome in Irvine 2 weeks ago.
Thank you. Yeah. I missed. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You're older. It's all right. But Kevin, I think you are one of the best interviewers on TV.
Oh, thank you very much.
Seriously,
thank you.
Seriously.
Thank you.
Like the, you like get like five to 8 minutes with somebody, but you get so much out of them.
You're the polar opposite of Jay Leno.
Exactly, right?
You're one over Leno.
Thank you.
You're inverse Leno.
I appreciate
and
that.
So
yeah.
You know, now that the show's getting bigger and bigger, like who do you want on the show now, and where do you know? Are you getting those bigger celebrities?
Yeah, we
now?
Are.
It seems like it.
We really are.
Do you think you can get Olivia Munn?
You know, if her schedule allows for it, I'm sure she'll be by. She is the hardest worker on it, truly. Hardest, and we were talking about this. The hardest worker I've ever met in my
life. I mean, you guys can't even imagine. She was
life.
She was hosting the show, writing a book, shooting a movie, and still, like, running her own website at the end of the day. I mean, you know, like, I'd see her at the table read. I mean, she was always fine for the shows, but she just kind of had this look. She was like, I didn't sleep last night. I had to finish writing the book. You know, it was like, I mean, I know that feeling. And so people don't get super successful by accident. Like, you have to work that hard
if you want
to make it.
Agreed. But to your point, first of all, thank you. That's awesome. I am so nervous and filled with anxiety before each and every interview, before each and every show, but the interviews especially. Like, I take a special amount of pride, and that eats me alive every day when I do interviews. But having guests like James Cameron leave or Kevin Smith or whatever, and they go, that's the best interview I've had. That was better than Conan. That was better than whatever. Like, when I hear that, it still racks my brain and confuses me. But
yeah, James Cameron, like, wants to, like, he comes back and he likes to fuck around.
We're Facebook buddies now.
That's awesome.
Back and forth. Yeah. Everybody was like, you know, you got to be worried about James Cameron. He's, you know, he's sometimes a little rough. Are you about to climax? You got a text?
Did he give you a Navi fleshlight?
No.
The spin is this one's blue.
It's blue. You put your braid into it, nothing happens.
I'm connecting with the planet.
Yeah, it's blue and it's not that good.
But it totally looks like it's in the room with you.
What was the question?
Fuck you.
Who else do you want to have on the show?
Yeah, so I mean, having James Cameron on, that was a trip. I would love to have Leslie Nielsen on. Like, it's such a bummer for me.
Sorry, God has other plans.
Yeah, he didn't. We didn't check with his publicist.
What? I didn't do it.
you killed Leslie Nielsen?
Like, him and Mitch Hedberg were two guys that I'd always been like, I want that interview.
Hey, Kevin, bum more people out.
So you know, it was really sad when that little girl from Poltergeist died.
Osama would have been great.
I always wanted to hear that Kurt Cobain, John Lennon collaboration for Tibet.
That would have been really awesome.
But it's funny. Death isn't funny. Sometimes.
Oh, it is.
It is sometimes, yes.
Yeah, Matt worked at a funeral home. He thinks it's hilarious.
Oh, really?
It was. Good times. Anyway.
I can't actually think of people that I'm like, oh, I want to get them on, because now it's sort of a reality. Now it's like, hey, we should really get insert guest here on, and they show up a couple weeks later, which is shocking to me, because for years it wasn't like that. They'd be like, oh, we're having the best grip from Bones on. I'm like, what? You know, like, no. Okay.
Ask him anything about Bones. It's great.
No, this guy's had a guest spot on Numbers 12 times. I'm like, who hasn't been on Numbers? Who watches what's Numbers? Why am I interviewing this person? But, you know, we now actually get the guests on. I want to have Bill Maher on, though, because his is a show that I've always wanted to do. And that's clearly never going to happen. So if he can come into my playground for a minute,
I think I could hook you up.
You know a guy knows a guy?
Yeah, I know. Back in the old days, I did Politically Incorrect a bunch of times. So I could probably hook that. He's been on this podcast before. But don't worry about it, though. Yeah.
You know a guy knows a guy?
Humble brag.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you definitely do some of the best interviews.
Thank you.
That's amazing. I mean, listen, it's harder to interview someone for an hour, but totally kidding. I'm totally kidding.
I hate this. I hate being the interviewer.
Why did I know that was coming? Like,
totally kidding. But
I love the long form interview. Like, it bums me out that I only get 5 minutes, because other shows will do an interview for 15 and cut it down to the 3 actually entertaining minutes.
Yeah.
And there you go. And on our show, it's like, hey, welcome, sit down. We're going to come back from commercial. We're going to talk. And before you know it, there's a dude in my ear going like, hard rap. You're out of time. And I'm like, I just said their name.
Yeah.
Like, I just introduced them and we watched a clip from the movie we're not going to talk about. And there we go. Like, we're out of time. So but I like the long
It's great, though, because, I mean, I've firsthand watched people get out of the chair from across you and be like, who were really nervous and be like, oh, my God, that was it? That was so much fun, you know?
It's like sex with me, really. You're like, oh, it's over.
Well, wait, there's a guy on your ear saying, hard rap.
Yeah, exactly. We gotta get to the epic fail.
Why do I wear this IFB into the old sackaroo?
Send, damn you, send.
Any other questions? One more question, gentleman in the hat. But you'll have to. Well, it's because I don't know your name.
That's Albert.
AJ. AJ. How do you know? How do you know Albert?
I may work with him with Dell. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Come
I
up
love
here
your so inspiron, good sir.
Come up here so we can microphone you for the podcasting audience. All right.
Yo, what's up? Kevin, I'm sorry, this is for the guys. Chris, I don't know if you noticed or not, but Nerdist kind of in the top 10 right up there with This American Life on iTunes.
Oh!
Hi! Hadn't
Not
noticed.
After this episode!
Listen, I only check it 40 times an hour. Yeah.
That was before you brought Kevin on. But,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, that was funnier when I said it 5 seconds ago, but maybe it took a second to get through the hat. I don't know. It's all right.
Welcome to Arena!
Yeah.
Hey! Arena was better than... I'll tell you about the spinoff of the Jenny Jones show I hosted once.
What?
Dear God, no. So my question is, how has that affected the podcast? I noticed that you guys have Falcon Northwest now, Netflix, Audible, all these big sponsors. How do you feel like, you know, just like the question was for Kevin, where he feels like AOTS is going, where do you feel like Nerds?
I honestly have too much time swimming through money and pussy to think about it. I mean, I don't know.
Wait, what?
I don't.
Wait, you guys
said,
don't have
this is like an upstart.
Nerds podcast with Chris Hardwick. I got a couple interns that work on the show, but I mean, you know, at the core of it, like when you really break it down, how has it changed? I don't know. It hasn't. I mean, I you know, actually, what's happened is
we're on it less. That's a that's
weird
one
that you
difference.
Bring that up.
I'm in Dutch with the wife. Honestly, it's only just now after like 14 months of doing the show or 13 months or whatever that people are starting to ask to come on the show, and I don't have to beg them to come on the show. Like the Damon Lindelof episode that went up today, Damon Lindelof asked to come on the show, and I was like, nice. Of course you can come on the show. And so it's getting easier so far to book guests. Like I don't have to tell people a podcast is like a show that you get on your computer. Like I don't like the word podcast for me for so long just sounded like a filthy act. Like every time I said it, I felt like I was saying the word cunt in a conversation because I would say podcast and people would just kind of shrink and deflate, you know, because it just sounded weeny. But
well, that was because for a while you were calling it podcast cunt.
Yeah.
And I was like,
cuntcast.
The old cuntcast,
right?
So I guess if anything, it's now that people are more aware of what these things are, it's like we're getting willing guests to come on. Like we just had Julie Benz on. Like the fact that Julie Benz, who's way outside, you know, our normal, you know, spectrum of people that, you know, like nerds that we have on, she's not a nerd at all. And she is aware of what podcasts are and decided to come on the show. So I guess that's how it's made it easier. I mean, I don't think, you know, we're not wealthier than we were before. There's not.
Well, they're not. I mean, but.
Too close to home.
What cut of the door do you guys get?
75 cents.
So did that answer your question? Okay.
Yeah, totally. If that's the case, what are you doing with the sponsorship? Sort of.
You're looking at it. We're at
see
the
these lights.
Yeah.
This well, like so.
I saw Chris's rape attic upstairs.
Well, yeah. I asked you
that. He said one day is going to turn into like Nerdist Industries. Is yeah. That,
hey,
that just,
in fairness, that's where we love you into submission.
Yeah. The old ground and pound.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was allowed to spill those beans, but I'm so proud. Like, that is so awesome. Because Chris, ages ago, as in months ago, you're like, oh, I'm doing this little thing, doing this little podcast. And now it's like, oh, we have Nerd Melt. We have the food trucks showing up. We've got, we're launching other podcasts. Like, it has blown up into something
don't
beautiful.
Don't you start.
No, I love it. I love it.
Yes, did you? Yeah?
Well, it's sort of like a spin-off, but like, not to minimize the work that you guys have done here.
I'll mic you.
Sorry. Not to minimize the work you guys have done on the podcast, but do you feel like
you're able to get some guests because of relationships that you've had with him, because of prior stuff you've done with your career?
Yeah, I mean, it was all my friends for ages. Like, I mean, and I was like, well, this isn't going to last long.
I was like,
long,
holy shit, he has 64 friends.
I'm going to run out of fucking friends. I'm going to run out of fucking friends. And, you know, so the money, like any sponsorship money we get, I started paying Jonah and Matt. And then I hired, I mean, I can't run Nerd Melt myself. I hired this girl named Emily Gordon, who is Kumail Nanjiani's wife, who co-produces the Wednesday night show here with Jonah. And when I found the space, the Gaston, the owner, who's been amazing here at Meltdown, you know, it's, I started paying her, and then, and it just, it, a lot of it's just staff and rent and equipment and things like that. I mean, it's like, we're just sort of, I'm not losing money, so that anymore, yeah.
Oh, that reminds me, we got to return the back monitors to my friend Mike.
Oh, fuck.
He's got a bar mitzvah to DJ, yeah, so I need to get that back.
Hard rap. So yeah, so that's where that goes. But I'm launching. I mean, I have a couple other podcasts that I'm not on that are going to launch under the Nerdist Network. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, when you launch, you have tons of great ideas, and do you, like, how much stuff?
We all?
No, but you have so much. Like Attack of the Show consumes so much of your time. So yeah, how do you manage? You know, like a 5 day a week show,
if I were driven and didn't love marijuana so much, I would probably be fairly successful with my career. But honestly, I violently defend my downtime. I don't want to work on weekends and don't want to work nights sometimes. And I used to beat myself up violently over it. And now it's just sort of like, you know what? Like, the tax's great. I love doing it. It does consume 90% of my free time. I try to work on things at night, but if I don't, I don't. And that's why I haven't launched so much now. I'm kind of just enjoying the ride as it is right now. And if and when Attack goes away, then maybe I'll spin some plates and get something else going. But I do have a couple other shows in the work that will be coming out very soon.
You do?
I do. Called the Playlist, which is a music battle show. Yeah, I haven't really talked about this anywhere. It's a music battle show where I talked about it on Rad Nerd's podcast, I think. Thanks, Bo.
Scooped again.
Damn you. No. But I don't think it made it into the final cut. But the idea is it's the Playlist, and it's sort of like Iron Chef for musicians. Because there's no chance. There's like music.
What is the secret ingredient? A flat?
It could be.
A flat!
Today, C major.
After minute seven.
The idea is that now, like, you could have an iPad and be a one-man band. You know, like, people are doing things with controllerism, hacking together arcade buttons and putting together their own instruments. So episode one is teaching you what VJs and controllerism is, mm-hmm. like teaching you all about it. And then we have two of the biggest bands in the scene show down in an octagon, Suicide Girl, Round Card Girls. And they go toe-to-toe for three rounds with clips that we gave them from, like, Mortal Kombat and Kung Fu movies and random shit.
That sounds awesome.
And we have them spin off, and then we shot both endings so the viewers can tweet who they think actually won, and we'll crown the winner of the first VJ competition.
Where is that going to air?
Great question. likely YouTube.
Which Suicide Girl did you get? Shitty Squirts?
Shitty Squirts was in there.
Good call, man.
She expressed each and every one of the contestants beforehand. Glands free. So it's like that's one of the plates that I'm spinning. I'm working on an Android-powered wristwatch that's going to be kind of cool.
That's awesome.
Just some random ideas with what little spare time there is. But Attack is the bulk right now, and that's oh, woe is me. I have this awesome daily thing where I can talk about nut shots and then interview, like, Ron Paul. Like, oh, yeah, my life is hard.
Well, yeah, and you know, and you do, you're very self-deprecating, but the fact is, you're a super smart guy and phenomenal on the show. And I really, I'm excited, and I've said this to you so many times, like, you, the experience that you have, like, if you wanted to continue hosting, you could totally, you know, like, you could totally do the Seacrest thing and just produce a fucking bunch of shows and get paid millions of dollars.
Boy, dream. Where's my Kardashian?
Pereira out!
I think we might have found her. We have a reality series to talk
about
very soon.
April O'Neil.
April O'Neil.
Oh, my God. April O'Neil and the... Because that was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles reporter. It was April O'Neil. Mm-hmm. Have you done that spinoff yet? Oh, my God.
Did you ever fuck Casey Jones, the hockey guy?
I would have. I fucking loved Casey Jones.
You know what I didn't love? Go turtle, go turtle, go.
Oh, no, it's go ninja, go,
go
ninja,
ninja, go ninja, ninja, go ninja, go.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that at Lowell Flick, which is a movie theater where you could pay 99 cents to see a movie and bringing pennies and throwing them at the screen. Like during Vanilla Ice's part, I have no idea how what year did that come out? Does anybody know what year that movie came out?
1849.
I
want to
say 93.
93. 91. Okay, I was
close enough.
8 throwing pennies at Vanilla Ice.
You rebel.
I am.
And you can still do that on the Venice Boardwalk today.
Yeah, yeah. But then he gathers them all up. It's,
throw them into his hat and he shuffles
go,
away.
Go, I gotta ninja, buy a new go ninja, Dutch just hat. Go, ninja, yeah, yeah. Just go. But anyway, we've dominated enough of your time. Please join me in thanking Mr. Kevin
Thank you
Pereira
guys.
For being
Thank
here.
You.
At, if you want to follow Kevin online on Twitter, at K Pereira. P-E-R-E-I-R-A.
That is it.
K. Pereira.
Quick thank you to George for getting the computer. So
thank you to George for getting the computer because Matt Myra forgot to bring his laptop to record this.
Thanks to Meltdown.
Thanks to Zach. Thanks Zach to Gaston. Mo thanks to NerdMelt. Check
Francisco.
Us out. Meltcomics.com for other shows. Thanks, Matt and Jonah.
Thank you, Chris.
I will see
thank
you, guys
you guys
next
very
time.
Much.
Thanks
Appreciate
for coming
it.
Back. May 12th, Aussie Night with Rove McManus and a couple songs by Axis of Awesome. That'll
starting
be,
May 8th, every Sunday, Matt Myra's day off. Come at 7:30, sign up, 8 o'clock show. We're going to have a good time.
Rumor has it,
comedy.
Abortion jokes.
Maybe. Maybe.
Well, who has to worry about that when you're getting blowjobs all day? Jonah Ray's Wednesday night show, The Meltdown on Wednesday nights. Yeah. Thanks for coming out, everyone.
Thank
good
you, guys.
Night.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast was brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup. Easy, automatic, unlimited backup for your computer files. Try it for 15 days at carbonite.com. Use the offer code Nerdist.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.